to Mountain Kailash in Tibet. I stayed in the area of Nainital. And I wanted to acclimatize my body to the high altitudes which I would be traveling in once I would reach the high plateau of Tibet. And since Srishtikata's friend, who was Srishtikata at that time, was my assistant, since the friend of Srishtikata's owned an apartment in Nainital, we decided to go there, and I would walk every day a little, go up the high mountains, and just get the blood accustomed. One day we decided to visit the ashram of a famous siddha, a yogi who had reached perfection. This yogi had already passed away maybe 8 years or 10 years before our visit. As we would say in the West, he was dead. When Srishtikata and myself went over the bridge to go into his ashram, there were several pilgrims before us. One of these pilgrims all of a sudden turned around. It's almost like this. Walking like this, all of a sudden he turned around. And as he looked into our eyes, I saw, I don't think Srishtikata has not reported the same findings, but I saw the face of this yogi who was dead. He smiled at me. Obviously he was not dead. I was shocked. And he smiled more at me. And I was more shocked. Then he grinned. he had a very attractive beard here. In the voice of the heart, which mystical people speak and understand, he communicated, "Wait until you come into my ashram. You will find something which will be very, very inspiring for you." And then he disappeared. I paid my obeisances and continued on. And yes, when we came into the ashram, we saw something which surprised us very much. There was a group of devotees from Jagannath Puri. At that moment we didn't know they were from Puri, who were singing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra 24 hours a day with many nice melodies. We were so intrigued and so fascinated that we immediately sat amongst them, and I stayed there for an hour or so, because I knew this was for me. The yogi had thought, this is good for me. Later I met his disciple, one of his disciples. I will see him on Saturday also again. His name is Krishna Das. He sings with a very deep voice. I will visit him in Cologne, most probably with Raphael. I asked him, and he told him about this experience which I had. And Krishna Das told me, "Yes, my Guru Maharaj, the Neem Karoli Baba, has appeared to many, many people after his death. He often does this in order to make a certain point. And I think for you, he wanted to tell you, stay with your chanting. The chanting is the highest. And Krishna Das said more. He said, Neem Karoli Baba has also told me that the chanting of the Maha Mantra, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, is the highest yoga practice because it brings you in direct union or connection with the Lord. And this is something which I want to discuss today. We are holding this yoga retreat in a building, a temple building. In fact, even we practice our yoga asanas in the temple room, which is full with the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. And I want to encourage all of you who are here to use your time wisely to go deeper into the practice of chanting, of mantra yoga, of chanting the sacred syllables of the mantra. Let us now start a little bit to understand about mantras. It is stated that the original state of this word is the Mahat Tattva. Mahat Tattva means the great truth. It is also described to be Mahat Tattva. You can say it's the great truth, but it can also mean the mind of God. This mind of the Lord is totally peaceful, like a lake, totally calm, without any material influences, totally transcendental. Still, it exists before any matter. That means any universe or any planetary system exists. So in this Mahatattva, which is like a pure field or like a crystal clear lake, the creative impulse comes. And the creative impulse has two forces. They are called kala, the time energy, and cetana, or consciousness. And these two energy, these two will create waves in the Mahat Tattva. What is a wave? A wave is form and energy. Correct? When you are in the wave, it's not just a form, the wave moves you. Like our Raphael was accompanying me last year, we went to, what was it, Fuerteventura, Sisi, and Rafael was going with a few friends for, what is it?
Surfing
on the waves, yes, it's a very good place for surfing. I'm not so expert in this, I chanted Hare Krishna. It's an energy, a forceful energy. You have to handle it properly. And really, usually you, after some time you fall into the ocean. So, a form and energy is coming into this, and this is exactly what happens in the Mahatattva. The energies are moving in it, and forms are manifested, and then after some time we have this whole material universe, which is a combination of form and energy, and of course the consciousness and the time factor. So this original impulse which you find here and which splits into time and consciousness, this is what we call in Sanskrit, and this is most important, Nada Brahman. That is the spiritual energy, Brahman, in form of sound or vibration. Vibration or sound is setting the creative impulse into this material universe, and from this material, from this creative impulse, you get everything else. The form and the energies which are here in this material world. The Vedic scriptures, the Vedanta Sutra, explains that just like sound or vibration, it's a vibrational energy, created this world, you can also become free from this world by sound. One sound creates the whole material manifestation, another sound liberates you from the whole material creation. This is for those of you who like a little these jnanic or things which agitate the mind. The mantras in their original form are energy which carries information with it, and when the mantras become more thicker, they become audible or hearable sound. If you want to understand a mantra properly, you have to always go beyond what the ear hears and come to the most subtler aspect of the mantras, that is its spiritual energy and its information. We hear in the scriptures that if you know how to chant a mantra properly, you will actually be able to see what the mantra is carrying. You will actually, for instance, when you chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you will not just hear some sound moving your eardrum, but you will be able to see in your mind's eye the spiritual essence of the sound, the spiritual form of the sound, which is no one else than God. Those of you who have chanted properly will actually be able, while they chant, all of a sudden the picture of the Lord appears. If you want to learn this technique, then you are invited to talk with our Kanu Priya in September. We will all go to the Swiss mountains for 1 week, isn't it? That's the idea, at least that's the plan. And for 1 week we will stay in the Alps and we will become scientists of the spiritual sound. We will just chant from morning till evening, and in between are instructions so that we can actually discover this secret, that the mantra is not just some waves of energy which carry, which move the eardrum, All right. Everything. But they are actually much more. The mantra is identical with the form of a spiritual form of the Lord. I want to explain this, make this a little bit more clearer. There was one Dr. Emoto who made a very interesting experiment. He had water and he had different types of sound coming. Yes, Aris. Totally inspiring for me. This I have learned from you. Different types of sound coming on the water. For instance, heavy metal. Ah! Is this the... Have I captured the essence of heavy metal? I have. Thank you. After this came on the water, they froze the water, took a chip of ice and put it under the this microscope, and they saw in the ice certain patterns appearing. They took other sounds, like mantras. I know of the mantra Om Namah Shivaya. Put it here, and took a chip. And they took, there was another person who spoke all the time into this device. You make me sick, you make me sick. Du machst mich ganz krank. And they took that water and looked at it and then compared the results, and the results were stunning. It went, the pictures were published, they went all over the world. Most probably, I would say, two-thirds of my audience has seen these pictures. I remember seeing the picture of Om Namah Shivaya. It was a beautiful mandala, a very orderly design was visible. I remember the sound, I love you, spoken with love and affection on the water. It looked like a beautiful diamond. And you make me sick. The sound, you make me sick. It really looked totally destructive. And heavy metal, I'm not against heavy metal music. Hare Krishna. Looked like really the patterns looked so disorderly. It looked so destructive. Later I found out that doctors had made an experiment that people who always hear this aggressive heavy metal music, they get organ problems. They become bent over. The sound carries an information with it, which is within the sound. So also the sacred mantra sounds, they carry a certain, let us say, information with them, which begins to shape a person. And if you learn how to chant these mantras properly, with full attention, then you will see how the spiritual form of the mantra will arise within your mind, and how it will start to heal you, how it will open you, and how it will transform you. There is one very important rule which I would like to show you.
You have to learn this little technique. It's called traktaka. When you chant mantras, it's a little tricky. Traktaka means the art of concentrating your mind. Yogis learn this technique by, for instance, putting a candle before their eyes and fixing the candle and looking to the candle and always bringing their mind back to the candle. What I usually do when I have lots of things to do, I also apply this art by just taking a piece of paper and when I have very many things to do, especially disturbing things, I look at the piece of paper and just bring my mind to concentrate on it. In Atma Yoga, it's also in other yoga styles, you learn to fix your drishti, your eyes, on a point. Because if you do this, if you concentrate your mind, its energy will no longer be diffuse and go all over the place, like the many, many millions of thoughts which you develop. But all this energy will work all of a sudden for you. Do you know that the normal person thinks 32,000 thoughts a day? Do you know that especially at this time, these thoughts are not at all for your own upliftment and interest? Many times they are like, oh, why did he do this? Oh, this problem, which I cannot solve. The World Health Organization has amazing statistics out. They estimate that 450 million people on the earth, 450 million, that's not one or two, that's 450 million people on the planet, have intense mental or behavioral disorders. And they, at this moment, this mental problems, especially depression, is the number four disease, the number four killer even of people, because they commit suicide when it gets very intense. But the way our society goes, this depression will go up to number one. In 20 years, it's number one. It's alarming, my dear audience. In the World Health Organization has calculated that every third person will have cancer in his life. Let us count. 1, 2, 3, cancer. 1, 2, 3, cancer. 1, 2, 3, cancer. 1, 2, 3, cancer. By no means, I'm saying. Most of you live healthy lives. And cancer and these problems are very much related to worries, anxieties, which after some time begin to influence the body. Depressions and all this mental garbage is killing us. Haribol! Haribol, I shouldn't say Haribol. It's sad to say. In the traktaka, or concentrating the mind, is so important in any case, but it is most important when you enter the practice of mantra meditation. Those who chant mantras, but whose mind goes somewhere else, are entering even into an area which is possibly dangerous. It can bring about schizophrenic things. Imagine you always, you do something, but you learn to always be absent-minded and somewhere else. Isn't that dangerous? You're never there. Some chanters I have seen, not only in the Hare Krishna movement, but everywhere, have the chronic problem that they chant the mantra and they think it will work, and they go with their mind on a mind trip, thinking about different things, what to do, and so on. That is possibly dangerous, not in all cases, but possibly dangerous. Because there is a split of mind. You actually train your mind. That you do something and your mind goes somewhere else. It's good to sometimes do it. I have heard great generals, when they do their strategies for military action, they knit at the same time. Do you know knitting? Wie sagt man das Wort in Deutsch? Knitting? Stricken, yeah. Because it's sometimes good to do two things at once. It creates a certain creative tension or whatever. But if you always are absent-minded, especially when you meditate, that's not good. So you have to learn the simple art of putting your mind to the mantra. Or, as I would like to say it, as I'm practicing it, let your mind move the mantra or the tongue. In other words, first the mantra vibrates in your mind. And then it moves the tongue and it becomes visible, an audible sound. That is proper mantra chanting. And this mantra chanting will give you a lot of spiritual benefit. It will actually heal your whole subtle mind. It will heal all the problems in the mind. And your mind will become highly energetic. It will become your best friend. And it will become fully spiritualized. Such a mind which is pervaded by the sacred mantra will always be positive. It will be very strong to deal with problems in our daily life, it will make you into an actual blissful person. But you have to bring the mantra and your mind together. It must be one. It must be locked. It cannot be two. Very important. Very, very important. I want to move on. When you begin to chant the sacred mantra, there are immediately three effects which you can feel. One is the mirror effect. Our mind is in some ways like a mirror. Whatever we place before the mind, it is appearing within the mind. For instance, I see this very new recording device of our Dharma Setu. It has a half-bitten apple on the back. And I place it now before my mind, I give it some attention, and I can guarantee you, the way my mind works, I will see the thing in my dream. Because the mind will reflect it. It will come back. But unless a mirror, you know, like a mirror, whatever you put before a mirror, it appears in the mirror. But unless, like a mirror, who loses the image, the moment the image is gone, the mind keeps the image and holds it for long. This can be very dangerous. Everything what we have thought about, everything which we have come in contact has left a subtle impression in the mind. When you go through your daily life, there are many things which are reflected on your the mirror of your mind, and which stay in the mirror of the mind. You have many corpses in the graveyard of your mind. And they come out after some time, woo! And give you problems. So if you, it is said, you can clean a cloth by air or by water, and you can clean the mind from all these impressions which are there by mantra. That is how important mantra is. Therefore, all yoga practices which are dealing with the mind will introduce at one stage or another the mantra. That is very important. And your mind gets all this, it's like a nice white cloth, like our shobha is today dressed in a very nice white chadar. It always gets a little dirty. My spiritual master once compared the mind of an ordinary person with a mirror on a car. When the car goes through muddy roads, the dirt goes on the mirror. Some people, including, I mean, before I came to Krishna consciousness, I had so many impressions on my mind, so much dirt which accumulated in the mind, that I really was becoming very burdened and very belastet, sagt man in Deutsch so schön. Danke, Gaurav Bhavani, das ist die richtige Übersetzung. Belastet, burdened. People in my family are a little sensitive. My younger brother, it became too much. He once went on a journey to South America, and he went into the jungle of South America. A lot of the people in our family are a little adventurous. And he met some Indians, and they did something with him. All we know is that at one stage he was dancing naked before the embassy, the German embassy in some town in South America. I forgot, Brazil, I believe it was. I mean, the country was Brazil. And he came. They brought him into an airplane, and he came back to Hamburg, and he was still dancing. This is how the mind picks up these unhealthy influences, especially if one is a little subtle. So the mantra will cleanse all these mirror effect. That's cleansing. The second effect which we deal here is a problem which we could call the fire of dissatisfaction. Since we are spiritual people in the world, since we are originally spiritual entities, part and parcels of God, we can never actually be fully satisfied by fulfilling material desires. In fact, whenever we have fulfilled a desire, our mind keeps on developing the next desire. It's like a fire. When a fire is given food, the fire will not say thank you, it will demand more. The fire can be extinguished, but the fire of desire cannot be extinguished so easily. When you are chanting Hare Krishna or chanting the mantra, you will come in contact with a strong spiritual energy. And at that time, when you who are spiritual finally meet something else which is spiritual, a spiritual sound vibration, you can become satiated. You can never ever become satiated by material things, because you are not material. It's categorically totally different. What we think is satiation or satisfaction is not really satisfaction. What we think is satisfaction is only exhaustion for a short amount of time. We are exhausted, but only spiritual things or spiritual energy can satisfy the spiritual living being. That's a very important effect of the chanting. The fire of desire is extinguished, and with it the fire of misery. Fire of desire is extinguished. The third is this is a lotus flower. I would like to draw so much, you Sarah, but it never works. I thought when you are sitting close, some of your Shakti will enter me. I will draw very beautifully, but no, doesn't work. Within our heart is a lotus. I think all of you have heard about the chakras and the Sahasra chakra, the highest chakra, which is the 1,000 petal lotus. But also in our heart is a lotus. This lotus is waiting to be opened. It's a lotus of spiritual auspiciousness. When a devotee learns to practice the mantra properly, then the lotus of his spiritual good fortune will open. Will become very, very beautiful. He will even feel it. He will feel how this opens. I have just given a seminar on emotions, and I have studied in the yoga shastras that we have 7 chakras here, and they are all related to certain emotions. For instance, the lowest chakra related to the emotion of wanting to feel secure or grounded. Don't we all have this feeling that grounding is important, security is important? To be insecure is not so good. As you go higher and higher and higher, you will arise to the anahata or heart chakra, which is related to feelings of compassion, of love, of kindness, of generosity, and so on and so forth. So in most of the people's life, the chakras are not opened properly, or another terminology says they are not moving properly, and therefore these very necessary feelings, security and compassion, are either blocked or they come out in strange ways, not healthy ways. Many people, for instance, in the present day civilization, have little access to the proper to the anahata chakra, to proper forms of love and compassion, therefore, and things like forgiveness. Therefore, marriages are so difficult to keep in this day and age. I can only pay my most respectful obeisances to all those who can maintain a marriage for a long time. When I'm a monk, I'm not married. When I first started my monkhood, I was really thinking, marriage, that's for people who are not so strong. Nowadays we have to say marriage is really for the very strong people. It's really not easy. I heard in Radhadesh every second marriage is in danger to be broken up because it's so difficult for people to stay together and to just be tolerant, be forgiving, be understanding, even if the person is totally different than our understanding, you know, what we want. So I think times will come where we really have to say those who can keep a mature relationship for a long period of time, like let us say 30, 40 years, we have to say, you are the great sadhu, great saintly person, you are very forgiving, you are very compassionate, you are very understanding, you are very kind and very generous, you are very advanced in the art of love. This is what we have to say. This is how the world develops. Krishna. So the chanting of the Hare Krishna, of the mantra, I'm always saying Hare Krishna because that's called the Maha Mantra, the main mantra, will open the heart. But all this will only work when you are actually bringing the mantra of the mind together. And that's a very, very intense practice. I want to recommend all of us here, if it is possible, and we don't go too late in the evening, we have to see how it develops. We really, all of us who are in this seminar, who are teaching Atmananda, later you will see Jana Jamadi, and also myself, we are really conceiving this retreat as a little journey. We have some guidelines, some time frames and so on, by which we will try to keep the the retreat, but we don't really as of yet know how the evenings will go, since we have not had an evening together. Yesterday was only an introduction and so on. So, but if we get to bed at a decent time, I want to encourage you, please use your time in Goloka Dham and the retreat to get up relatively early and before power yoga chant already your mantras. That will be very good for you. You will really experience how these three effects will come. The mirror of the mind is cleansed. The fire of desire will become slow, and the lotus of good fortune, your spiritual heart, will open. If you do not feel these things while you chant, you must be doing something wrong. And mostly it's in this area where we do things wrong. And it can be easily corrected, but it should be corrected. In yoga, we know that the mind has five states. And about these five states, I will talk in another lecture when I talk about making the mind the friend. But here I want to say, the mind of the most of the ordinary person is never calm. Even if we think nothing at the moment, which happens often, our mind is. This doesn't mean that the mind is calm. The mind is calm when it is not moved by the material states. There are three modes in which we work. Ignorance, passion or agitation, and balance or harmony, sattva-gun. If we think a lot, that is very often the mode of passion. When we think nothing, that's mostly the mode of ignorance. A little dull, exhausted. Our eyebrows touch the hairs. That is not what calmness is. Calmness is a state of goodness where the soul and God can be perceived, where there is a spiritual vision. I'm always looking at the watch. How, Sadanandi, when do we start with, when does this end?
Wir hatten so eine kleine Pause, also eigentlich halb zwölf und um 10:50 langsames Treffen mit Kundalini, aber Kundalini fängt um 12 Uhr an.
Okay, so I'm already 7 minutes over time, I see. So I will, no problem for me. it means I can come to the end. Remember when we started our little explanation of the mantra, we said that if you learn to chant the mantra properly, at that time you would see the form, the spiritual form of the mantra. A great spiritual master called Bhakti Siddhanta Sarasvati Thakur. Oh, how nice. Hello. He's in the sun. I think he's satisfied. Ich glaube, der ist da ganz froh, dass er mit uns ist. And many times, before making this point, I want to say here in Goloka Dham, we find many times animals from the forest taking shelter at the property when they feel it's too much stress in the forest. I see deers taking shelter here. And if you... is someone of you a bird watcher? In England we have a lot of bird watchers. No one of you? bird watchers. I was a little bird watcher when I lived on the island where I was, you know, of my childhood. I was with a bird watcher. I was a little young, but I have an eye for this, and I have seen many rare birds which I didn't find anywhere else in Germany. They come at the property because it's a spiritual place, and they feel the peace which is here, the love, loving peace which is here. They take shelter here. Also, I have seen this one. They know it's a spiritual assembly, so they also participate in their ways. One of the... Let us go back to
Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he said that the mantra, and the, especially the Maha Mantra, has two aspects. And he compared these two aspects with the medicine, which is within the capsula, and with the capsula itself. The capsula, which you can open, can carry any medicine. The capsula itself is not the medicine. What is the medicine is what you put inside the capsula. So when you chant the mantra, you need to see that you're doing it properly, and that you have also the proper understanding of the mantra. That's why mantras are usually given by a teacher to the student, and the student is then informed how his meditation should be go. I would like to read this to you. The holy name of Krishna means divine sound. It can be compared to a capsule of medicine. The capsule is not the medicine. Externally, one capsule may look like another, but within one capsule there may be medicine, and within another there may be cyanide or deadly poison. The capsule itself is not the medicine. It is not the sound of Krishna's name that is Krishna. Krishna is within the sound. The holy name must be charged with the proper spirit, not a mundane sentiment. I'm going to this point because many times in the yoga scene, people try to chant the mantras, but they don't feel anything. Also, in the Hare Krishna movement, who specializes on chanting Hare Krishna, I have seen that sometimes devotees don't feel Krishna's presence. And there is a reason why this is so. They only have the capsula, not the medicine. I will continue. You cannot vibrate the holy name simply by moving the lips and tongue. The pure name of Krishna is not lip deep, but heart deep. The heart is is also the place of the mind. The mind must be there. It's not a matter of the lips just moving. Ultimately, it goes beyond the heart even and reaches the land of Krishna. When Krishna comes down, the name comes through the heart and moves the lips and the tongue. When does Krishna come down from the spiritual world? He comes when a devotee chants in a proper mood, in a proper understanding, in a prayerful mood, in the mood of my dear Lord, please engage me in your service. Let me please you. Let me satisfy you. Let me bring pleasure to you. And when the chanter has done this little art, he will experience the divine reality. So very important. That's the reason why many of chanters who are not God conscious, or who don't believe in a God, who are atheistic and impersonal, cannot really derive the full benefit. But a proper yogi, a bhakti yogi, he will enter the chanting with a proper mood. He will understand, now I will come in the presence of God. I will leave my own me world, my ego world, and I will go think of connecting with the Lord. And then there is a full benefit in his life. Then
all these wonderful efforts become. So I want to finish here.